Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this short service from the Scots Kirk in Lausanne. My name is Gillian, I'm the minister here, and we begin today with a prayer. Let's pray. Loving and faithful God of all people, we come this morning to praise you, to worship you, to give thanks for all your goodness to us. Lord, we have enjoyed the sunshine of the past week, suffered a little with the heat, and been thankful for the rain when it came. Help us to be thankful for all your good gifts to us, for work to do, for food to eat, for friends to gather around us when we want to celebrate or to shed tears. We thank you this day most of all for your Son and for the generous giving of his life for each and every one of us. He came to show us how to truly love. And for that gift of sacrificial love, we give you our thanks and praise this day. And so it's in his name that we dedicate all our prayers. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. We have two readings today. The first one is actually a reading from a children's book called The Velveteen Rabbit. And it's about being loved. The skin horse had lived longer in the nursery than any of the others. He was so old that his brown coat was bald in patches and showed the seams underneath, and most of the hairs in his tail had been pulled out to string bead necklaces. He was wise, for he'd seen a long succession of mechanical toys arrive to boast and swagger and by break their mainsprings and pass away, and he knew they were only toys and would never turn into anything else. For nursery magic is very strange and wonderful, and only those playthings that are old and wise and experienced like the skin horse understand all about it. "What is real?" asked the rabbit one day, when they were lying side by side near the nursery fender before Nana came to tidy the room. "Does it mean having things that buzz inside you and a sticky-out handle?" "Real isn't how you're made," said the skin horse. "It's a thing that happens to you. When a child loves you for a long, long time, not just to play with, but really loves you, then you become real." "Does it hurt?" asked the rabbit. "Sometimes," said the skin horse, for he was always truthful. "When you are real, you don't mind being hurt." "Does it happen all at once, like being wound up?" he asked, "or bit by bit?" "It doesn't happen all at once," said the skin horse. "You become. It takes a long time. That's why it doesn't happen often to people who break easily, or have sharp edges, or have to be carefully kept. Generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair has been loved off, and your eyes drop out, and you get loose in the joints and very shabby. But these things don't matter at all, because once you are real, you can't be ugly, except to people who don't understand." "I suppose you are real," said the rabbit, and then he wished he had not said it, for he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. "The boy's uncle made me real," he said. "That was a great many years ago, but once you are real, you can't become unreal again. It lasts for always." This children's book was written by Marjorie Williams Bianco, and it talks about how important, but how much hard work love is. And so we turn now to our scripture reading, and we read from the first letter of John again, And this is our last in the series of lessons from that letter. We're reading from chapter 4 and verse 7 to 21. Listen now for God's word. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love comes from God. Whoever loves is a child of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. And God showed his love for us by sending his only Son into the world, so that we might have life through him. This is what love is. It is not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the means by which our sins are forgiven. Dear friends, if this is how God loved us, then we should love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in union with us, and his love is made perfect in us. We are sure that we live in union with God and that he lives in union with us, because he's given us his Spirit. And we have seen and tell others that the Father sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone declares that Jesus is the Son of God, he lives in union with God, and God lives in union with him. And we ourselves know and believe the love which God has for us. God is love, and those who live in love live in union with God, and God lives in union with them. Love is made perfect in us in order that we may have courage on Judgment Day, and we will have it, because our life in this world is the same as Christ's. There is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out all fear. So then, love has not been made perfect in anyone who is afraid, because fear has to do with punishment. We love because God first loved us. If we say we love God, but hate our brothers and sisters, we are liars. For people cannot love God whom they have not seen, if they do not love their brothers and sisters whom they have seen. The command that Christ has given us is this: all who love God must love their brother and sister also. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. Author Joan Brocklesby writes, I heard God laugh, and the sunshine broke into a thousand pieces to plunge into the hearts of men. Earth poured out her singing into mountains' crystal silences. Trees pulled up their ancient roots and danced for joy. Flowers sang, birds and beasts understood and stopped in listening wonder. Shuddered the old, old fears to vanish into living light, and man, set free at last from the weariness of doubt, ran to gaze up into the eyes of heavenly reason, in the sudden knowledge that in the true centre love breathes on life, healing and making whole. God the beginning, God the victorious end. Today, in our foray into John's letters, we turn to that thorniest and most often misunderstood of subjects, love. Jesus, John says, was a man who really lived a human life. He wasn't simply a spirit. He lived, he worked, he loved, he interacted with others, he died, and he rose from death on the third day, proving to us unequivocally that physical death is not the end of the story of our lives. As the skin horse in our quote from the Velveteen Rabbit says, we will all get to the stage when things stop working and we become a bit shabby. The world may not see us as important anymore. We won't have any worldly power. We won't be worthy of the covers of the glossy magazines, but we will always be deeply loved by our God, who will care for us when the world has no more use for us. God will do that because he loves us. We must not be afraid, says John in his letter, for perfect love drives out fear. God is not a pernicious God who wants any of his children to suffer. God will win. Love wins every time. But do you know, love is tough. How do we live a life epitomized by love when everything around us is falling to pieces and we ourselves don't feel loved? So, to recap, John writes to his fellow Christians in Ephesus to put them straight about Jesus, who he was, what he said, and where he is now. Jesus was real, just like the skin horse. He'd been badly treated. He had been loved. He had disappointed many people. He had been killed. He had forgiven those who had harmed him and returned to reassure us that he was still accessible through his Spirit, the Spirit in which we meet today, the Spirit through which we learn how to be fully human, how to be real. So this last portion of the letter for now brings us to arguably the most important message that John had for his friends in the church. He writes about love because, of course, everything that Jesus did as a human being was done out of love. Love for God and love for others. We have a commandment that goes further than that even. We are called to love ourselves as precious children of God. As with forgiveness, sometimes we find it's harder to love ourselves than to offer love to others. But in fact, we can't really love someone else if we don't love ourselves. Love is a bit like this terrible virus we've been dealing with these past difficult months. It can only really be passed on to others if we have it ourselves. And it can be debilitating at times. Psychologists have long known just how impressionable we all are. If we grow up in an environment where love is in short supply, or where love has been withheld or abused, then we struggle to know how to offer and receive love. In short, we don't consider ourselves lovable because no one has shown us any love. We don't know how to do it. We have to learn. When my granddaughter Hannah was wee, she went to a special nursery. It was a fabulous can-do sort of a place, but none of the children in her class were able to speak. Because her mobility was so limited, that was the class she was assigned to. It taught her a lot about non-verbal communication and about kindness, but it also made her believe that only adults could talk, apart from her, of course. So when she encountered children, she didn't speak to them because she didn't expect them to speak back. It was quite a culture shock when, after months of struggle and lobbying, her mother managed to get her into her local preschool nursery. To begin with, she found it really daunting. But then when she accepted the differences, she just came on by leaps and bounds. She had to experience it to believe it. And that's the thing about love. We have to experience it to believe in it. There are millions of people in our world who need to be convinced of God's love. And the only way to do that is for others to pass it on so that everyone can experience love. And when they do, they will have something with which to judge the efficacy of God's love by. Many people in our world are sadly not lovable. There are people who will crush our love under their feet, casting, as it were, pearls to swine, and we get hurt. Not giving up on love is really hard to do. Ever since I was a child, I've known that I love God. I have somehow known that He loves me, but I have always struggled with the church. I've struggled with Christians who are cruel and divisive, who limit God's love to certain groups of people, who preach about a God of judgment who will send some to hell and others to heaven, who will sit on a throne and watch souls suffering for eternity. But the more I read of my Bible, the more I pray and get to know God, and the older I get, the more I come to realise that it's not God that has told me these things, but other Christians. The key to my continuing faith in God and in humanity is contained in the word trust. I do not understand the height, depth, width of God's love, but I trust in it. The writer Rob Bell, in his book Love Wins, concludes with these words. Whatever you have been told about the end of your life, the end of the world, Jesus passionately urges us to live like the end is here now, today. Love is what God is. Love is why Jesus came. And love is why he continues to come, year after year, to person after person. May you experience this vast, expansive, infinite, indestructible love that has been yours all along. May you discover that this love is as wide as the sky and as small as the cracks in your heart no one else knows about. And may you know, deep in your bones, that love wins. May you know, deep in your bones, that love wins. Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, friend of those in need, your Son Jesus has untied our burdens and healed our spirits. We lift up the prayers of our hearts for those still burdened, those seeking healing, those in need within the church and the wider world. God of love, how wonderful it is for us to know that you love us, no matter our background. Thank you that in the kingdom of God, we find radical welcome and inclusion for all, even ourselves. We delight in our Father's love. In your kingdom, there will be justice and peace. But we know that this is not the experience of everyone today. Bring your kingdom, Lord. God of justice, we pray for people who find themselves caught up in conflict, for those navigating difficult relationships and making hard decisions, for those who have experienced discrimination and unfairness, for those caught up in dangerous situations around the world. In particular, we remember the people of Lebanon and Belarus, as well as migrants risking everything to seek a better life. We pray for people who find themselves on the margins, for those who feel they don't quite fit in or are being left out, for those who don't want others to know they are struggling, for those who can't access the things we take for granted because of poverty or disability. Break down the barriers. Bring your kingdom, Lord. God of peace, we pray for your church, for the Scotskirk in Lausanne and the communities in our neighborhood, for our brothers and sisters around the world. Strengthen and encourage us, Lord. As we settle into new rhythms of life, we remember those who have suffered and are struggling with the effects of the last few months. We pray for those who are trying to return to a new normality and for those who are caught between the two. Bring your kingdom, Lord. Loving God, open our ears to hear your word and draw us closer to you, that the whole world may be one with you, as you are one with us, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now we come to our blessing. Please know that God loves each one of you, and so go now today in his peace and the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and evermore. Amen.